And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us. As we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, this is the second time around for this teaching, so we'll try it again. Demetrius, a very wealthy businessman in Ephesus, was losing money. Paul and the people of the way were to blame. What happens when people lose their money and their power because somebody is telling the truth? Those people, whether their life is politics, business, fame, power, notoriety, or anything similar, they freak out when they're losing money. They spend their time trying to make innocent people guilty of criminal offenses. Boy, where have I heard that recently? Next, the big complaint against Paul from Demetrius was that man-made gods are not gods at all. I'm sorry. I said this last week. This level of ignorance is nutsy cuckoo. How can something man-made be divine? These people are making images that they can crush, burn, or throw away anytime they want. And these images are supposed to be their gods? How can an object that can be tossed in the fire and burned up by a person be the god of that person? And then finally, as the mob gathers together, and as the crowd gathers together, it's nothing but confusion, anger, destruction, mayhem, with no actual idea as to what they're doing or why they're doing it. The Apostle Paul wanted to go in and address the commotion, but the faithful believed it was a bad idea and said no. Sometimes it's the heart of wisdom to just avoid danger, especially when the danger is birthed from nothing normal, but real demonic evil. Knowing when to go into the fire and knowing when not to go into the fire requires discernment and a close connection with the Lord and wisdom from God above.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemusincrease.org. That's david@hemusincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated for something you do. Somebody's saying, I recognize that. Isn't that a nice feeling?
Yeah.
This is just good. Just feels great. Like, yeah, I love that.
I need to start coming up. You're talking about when you're talking to, you know, Jammin' Jacob, this, and this. I need to do the same thing and come back every single show, do the same thing for you. Just come back. Like, talking to David is like opening a bag of chips and it not being half empty. I don't know.
Or you could say, talking to David is like opening a bag of chips and having it go all over your face. That's good. If you guys were here, you would really understand much more of this. Trust me. that's part of the fun. Okay, so let's go back to what we're talking about. Maybe you've got a prayer request. Okay, cool. And why? Well, I say, well, that's cool that I got a prayer request. No, it's cool that we can share it together as brothers and sisters. I wish every single prayer you ever prayed that was right up there, submitted to the Lord, in His desire, every one of those would be answered just as deeply as you could possibly imagine. Because every time it's answered for you, it gives hope for me. You understand that? I'm just being honest. I'm not trying to. It's like every time somebody's blessed or something's happening like that, that's cool. Because it shows you God is active. And that's what we want. We want to connect to that. So if you've got a prayer request, bring it. We'll pray. We'll see. The Lord gives you grace and glory in it. We'll be able to dance with you. If it's a matter of weeping, we'll learn to cry with you as we learn to carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you've got a praise report, you got to share, man. You got, even if it's not us, you have to share. The Lord doesn't bless you and do great things in your life for you so that you can go, yep, I'm special. It's like, no, it's supposed to share. You're supposed to share that with other people so that other people can go, wow, praise the Lord. That's why. And then maybe you've got maybe other things going on. Maybe you want to just talk about something, bring some stuff up, trying to work through stuff. That's cool. It's not a kvetch fest. It's not the place where you go and you go, me, 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 me. Got to be careful about that. There's places that you do get that opportunity. We're just not really geared that way. It's just how we are. You're just going to have to work with us in that process. That's okay. But we are going to ask you a trivia question. So let's see if you can get this one. What is this one thing that it is impossible for God to do? Is that give, love, or lie? What is this one thing that it is impossible for God to do? Is it give? Is it love? Or is it lie? Which of those three things is impossible for God to do? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. So again, this is what we're asking is, what's this one thing that's impossible for God to do? Is that give? Is that love? Or is that lie? That's the question. We do have somebody ready for the trivia question, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. You sound a little rough to me today. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm just going to keep praying.
Well, we're just going to keep praying for you. So we're okay. Right there with you. We don't care. So let's do the triv question. But thank you for asking how I'm doing. And I'm actually doing really well. I am. I've worked out a couple of days in a row. I'm taking today off, so I'm happy that I'm taking today off. Let me just tell you that.
Well, that's good. I'll keep praying for you and the others.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. So let's do the triv question. What is the one thing that's impossible for God to do? Is that give, love, or lie?
Impossible for Him to lie.
Amen! That is correct! It is impossible for God to lie. And the first, it's in Hebrews and in Titus, and I love the portion in Titus because it talks about God who promised eternal life, which is impossible for God to lie. I just think that's such a great thing. It's like, look, we're getting there. We're going to have eternal life. It's happening. Whether we understand the fullness of it here and now, probably not. But it's a happening, and we're in it with the Lord, and it's awesome. All right, let me pray over you, my brother, because we love you in the Lord, and we want Him to bless you. Father, I lift up my brother Gary to you, as does every person who can hear my voice, and we are asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bring healing power into his body. Don't, Lord, don't just kinda, just do it, Lord. Please pour it out upon him by the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus up from the dead. Pour it into Gary's body and let him know he's being touched by you. And let him be able to testify to that. And we'll keep praying. So we're going to keep knocking. So, Lord, you can answer us now or later. But we're going to keep knocking and ask you to bless and heal our brother. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. And thank you very much. And God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, so there we go, Gary. And you guys got to be praying for Gary. You should be praying for Gary. That's somebody that should be on your list that you're praying for. Okay? We would greatly appreciate that. All right. We are going to do DNA, but I am still going to do some of the teaching because I have to get it in because last week I didn't even come close. So I'm trying to get a little closer. Thank you very much. But first, let's do our DNA because we need to. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Listen to Jacob's really getting into it now. Daily. That's right. And you need to do it daily. And I don't care what the world says or the culture says. Nobody. Jesus didn't care. He didn't even raise his, didn't even show his face towards those. He wouldn't even pay attention to them. Here is the whole thing. Got to spend time with the King. You got to. In order to keep yourself from being polluted from the world and by the world, got to spend time with the King, right? N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Luke 9:26. If you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I return. It's like, uh-oh. There's a lot of things I want from Jesus when he comes back. I don't want to hear him go, I am ashamed of you. It's like that would be like the worst, right? To be like, don't be ashamed of his words. It doesn't matter what the world says, but the world doesn't have a heaven to put you in. Okay, and then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means you just move up and out of just yourself. And you love on others. Not only does that get is that reciprocal, because when you love on others, God will make sure they love on you. But you also find a renewed strength when your focus is dropped on other people and not just yourselves. When you are so focused on yourself, the reason there's no new, fresh faith or anything is because you're just so focused on yourself. You need to be focused on other people. See those elements coming to pass, and they help your own faith. That's our DNA. Draw closer to the Lord daily and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready to serve. Now, we are going into the book of Acts. I am determined, okay? Acts, and we are in chapter 19, which is a, kind of an interesting chapter overall because there's a lot of stuff that takes place. But we are at verse 23. So Acts 19:23, and it says this. But about that time, serious trouble developed in Ephesus concerning the way. It began with Demetrius, a silversmith who had a large business manufacturing silver shrines of the Greek goddess Artemis. He kept many craftsmen busy. And he called the craftsmen together along with others employed in related fields and addressed them as follows. Gentlemen, you know that our wealth comes from this business. As you have seen and heard, this man Paul has persuaded many people that handmade gods aren't gods at all. Let's just stop right there. Demetrius is a very wealthy businessman in Ephesus. How wealthy? Okay. When it says that he has many people that he employs, when it says that he is a big manufacturer and many other trades are dependent on him, I'm pretty sure you can figure out this guy is kind of up at the top. And it's interesting because the scripture says there's some serious trouble. It's like an intensity of trouble. And they were losing money. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, and there's no reason to not say it, and that is when people who are in different elements of their life, or for example, people are like influencers, or they're involved in politics, or they're involved in some form of business, some notoriety, some power, some fame, some anything. When they start losing money, they start losing their minds. There was an article, I'm not even going to say where it was from or where it comes from, but there's a person who did a movie and they have $30 million, listen to this, $30 million in the bank, and they're worried about their immediate financial future. Okay, you see how weird that is? Like, we'd all be like going, what? Right? Everyone else would be like, $30 million? Okay, sure. So what I'm trying to show you is that when people lose that power, lose that edge, lose that thing, they start flipping out. And what they do, and so you can see this, you can see it in the scripture. Look, they start blaming innocent people. Innocent people. They start blaming them for criminal offenses. So they spend their time falsely accusing others because they're looking for a lifeline for their own finances. Is that just amazing? Who would do that in today's society? That's all. That's all I'm asking. People losing money and freaking out. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to take our break at this point. And the reason we're going to do that is because then we'll come back and do another triv question. So you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Let's get into our text. Colossians chapter. We covered everything, right? Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. Whatever you do, or I'm sorry, it's actually Colossians 3, 24. Whatever you do, do it enthusiastically. Is something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord because you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture tells us that whatever we do, now we've gone through this a couple of times and we have to go through it multiple more times to really grasp it, but that phrase, whatever we do, happens to mean whatever we do. That's what it means. And we're supposed to do it enthusiastically, with an eagerness, not with an obnoxiousness. With an eagerness to do it as unto the Lord. So the things that we're required to do, that we have to do, there should be a disposition, an attitude of enthusiasm that is connected to the Lord. It's not that you like to do everything, but if you can understand that in the doing of it unto the Lord, you're doing it with a different priority in mind. You understand that? In other words, what you do, do it unto the Lord and do it with this attitude of a full heart and an eagerness. I had somebody, I'll say her name, Susie Lopez was at KPRZ. She was the direct marketing director. Susie did the marketing director for San Diego. She said something to me one time that was so profoundly simple, it was irritating because I had to do something for a client because that's what you had to do at Salem. And I was like, blah. All right. So she said, Dave, she goes, if you can't get out of it, get into it. And it was like, that was really good advice. If you can't remove yourself from it and you have to do it, at least do it right. I mean, do what you're going to do and do it with the right attitude. Do it with the right spirit. Do it with this better mindset. And I think she was more right than wrong. No, I'm not talking about doing bad things or anything like that. So stop. That's weird stuff. I'm talking about doing it as unto the Lord and recognizing that when you do it that way, it is from the Lord and only the Lord that you will receive the true eternal reward. You might go through whatever your process is, but when you do it as unto the Lord, you can recognize that the Lord is the one that brings the reward. And that's just living your life for the Lord. And that's just good, right? I mean, that can't be a bad thing.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. And as with every penalty,
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. And it's a doozy. Get ready. It's a doozy. Okay? Now, there's a few correct answers to this, but you just do the best you can. Why was the Apostle John on the island of Patmos? Why? Your Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 is your answer. Why was the Apostle John on the island of Patmos? That is the question. If you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So most people know he was there, but why was he there? Gives you kind of a pretty good breakdown on Rev 1-9. So that's why I'm kind of leading you in that way. And just look at it and kind of double check. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't Google it. And I don't mean that you shouldn't use Google. I think that it's good to look it up in the Bible. That's what I think. I think if you look it up in the book, it has a little bit more memory impact than if you just do, I don't know what am I looking for, if you're just doing like a search kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's good to have that, you know, right that way. So we encourage you to check that out. Why? And so we do want you to give you a chance to answer if you can. We do have somebody that is already on board. We're going to bring him on in just about 10, 15 seconds. But give you a chance to answer if you have any idea why John was on the island of Patmos. If you can text in a hurry, you can get it in. But in the meantime, we're going to go to our caller. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary in Corsicana.
I'm sorry, who is this?
Gary in Corsicana.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
Okay.
One day at a time.
Okay. And you having a blessed day so far?
Oh, yeah. Every day. Every day is a blessed day.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
There you go. That's the key right there. Every day is a blessed day. You know, I love that one thing the guy said. Now, for us, we look forward to going to be with the Lord. But this preacher pulled this guy over and said, you want to know who the only people aren't complaining about things? And he took him over to a cemetery. He said, those people.
Oh, yeah.
That's hilarious. All right, here we go, brother. Why was our unbelievable, incredible Apostle John, why was he on the island of Patmos?
Well, I'm driving my car, so I didn't look up anything. I know you want people to look up. But as I understand it, he was exiled. And they couldn't kill him. He wouldn't die.
And
so they had to put him somewhere.
That's right? They put him there. Now here's that's a great answer. But that's a great answer. But here's what I want you to catch. No. He was there for the Word of God, because the Word of God, he was preaching the Word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus.
Okay.
See, he was there. So they did try to get rid of him. They tried to get rid of that guy for a while, and he wasn't going anywhere until Revelation was, you know, manifested. But think about this.
Yeah.
Think about this. He was there for the Word of God. Now, wait. Here's what's amazing. Christians need to be aware. Look, it happened to John, so it's not impossible to think that it could happen to some of us, right?
Yeah.
On the island of Patmos for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. What if they want to do that to Christians? Uh-oh. We better stand firm in the Word, right?
Right, yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Excellent job, though. That was great. And it was a great statement, and I love that you pulled it up from your heart. You pulled it out from, I remember he was exiled there. He was. It was for the wins, for his preaching, and his faithfulness, which I love because it's the Word of God, and it's also what he shared that God did in his life, the testimony of Jesus Christ.
He never stopped following.
That's right. Jesus. He was the longest living apostle. I mean, he lived. I mean, you got to consider how long he lived.
One that he would tell everybody that he's the one that Jesus loved, right?
Yep. That's right.
Right.
That's right. He would lean on Jesus' chest and go, howdy, brother, howdy. And Jesus would say, hey, what's going on, dude?
Yeah. But he want everybody to know that I'm the one that Jesus, you know.
Yeah. Excellent job, though. Excellent call. You never hesitate to call in. Fantastic, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, God bless you, bro.
But bless you too, sir. I love your program.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Excellent job. All right. So there you go. So that's what you guys got to catch. It's like those are the kind of things you think, well, wait a minute. I mean, you're going to tell me that, Dave, that I thought we're going to make an exit before that happens. Maybe. Let me say that. Wait. I hope so. I mean, I really hope so. But if not, you're not going to abandon the faith, right? Okay. So if you're prepared, then you're doing the right thing. That's the key. All right. Back to the text, because this is going to get so, so bizarre. I don't know how to tell you this. All right. This section's not as bizarre. The section after this will be one of the most bizarre teachings you've heard me teach since I've been doing the show. How about that? But before we get there, let's do this one. Here, now we're in this next segment. Here's Demetrius picking up on the situation. He says in verse 26, Verse 25, actually. Gentlemen, you know that our wealth comes from this business. As you have seen and heard, this man Paul has persuaded many people that handmade gods aren't gods at all. And this isn't only happening here at Ephesus, but throughout the entire province. Now stop. Okay. Here's the thing, okay? When you're in business and you're the manufacturer and all these other people are using you, and then there's all these other businesses attached to all of those businesses, I mean, you're making a killing. I mean, let's just not be weird about it. And so anybody who's talking about this not being real, this isn't, it's not an issue of practicalities in the sense of, like, truthfulness. It's about money. And so he's, like, going, look, how can you say man-made gods aren't gods? Okay, here's how. Okay, here. Because you made them. See, this is the thing that drives me crazy. Okay, this is kind of like where Dave kind of loses and, you know, tries to not get upset, try, stay on the meds, stay on the goss pills, stay on them. Okay, here's the deal. These are images that people make. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but when they're making the images, do you know what happens if there's a flaw in the image? They break it. Okay. Then they melt it down and they start again. So was that like a god with a limp? I mean, it's just like, you see what I'm saying? It's like, and so the dumbness that comes into this is, wait, you're making it and then you're making it your god right up until the time that you don't want it to be your god. And then you're going to melt it or do something else with it or anything else with it. And then you got to replace it with another one that you made. This is the problem that I have, okay? How can an object that is able to be tossed into fire and burned up by a person, how can that be a god to that person? When you know all I got to do is throw a rock right at this newfound god I have and watch him blow up in a million pieces. It's just like, what? Does that not seem like a high level of, not just immaturity, but high level of superstition? And then I just have this question. Let's say you have model 2001 and you want model 2010 because you want the newer version of the one you made. Then what do you do? Do you like army men? We used to take army men and go, rrr. So do they take the new one and go against the old one and go, rrr, I beat you. And then what happens to the old one? It's just so ridiculous that people actually think that the things that they are creating are gods. And this is, of course, my issue when you get into the Christmas season, people getting upset. Well, that's like having the Christmas tree is like having a god in your house. And I'm just saying this because I love people and want you to smirk when I say this. Anybody who thinks that a Christmas tree is a god has never pulled a Christmas tree out of their living room after Christmas is over. That's all I got to say. It's just the stupidest thing in the world. There is nothing more irritating than pulling the tree out and having the needles go everywhere and knowing you are probably speaking in a third tongue that you're not supposed to. That is not a god. Okay, come on, people. Okay, I'm just going to stop right there. And then the next section is even weirder. Okay, great. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
The David Spoon Experience.
Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Brother Ace.
Hey, Brother Ace. How are you, my bro?
I'm doing good. I'm under a tree in the shade and eating chicken and dumplings.
Nice. That's nice. Good for you. You're in the shade eating chicken and dumplings. I like it. All right. I gave this clue, and I think some people might have not quite caught it, so I'm hoping you did. Witch King said, as I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me.
Are you looking for Nebuchadnezzar?
That is correct, sir! Yes, sir! Remember, now the reason that I gave the moo sound is because he was driven and he ate with the cattle, and so I just gave the moo.
Yeah, that was quite an experience for the man to be a king and then have to eat and be like a cow.
Yeah,
God's got to humble us sometimes, and we just got to accept it, you know.
That's exactly right. You know, you think about that guy, and you think he would have been, and even Daniel warned him, he would have been fine, except he walked out on his foray, and he goes, I have built all this. It's like, yeah, that was a dumb thing to say right there. That was it. You and Elsie the cow, that's what happened right there. That was bad.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. No, I'll tell you. Well, that's good. I mean, life is full of surprises, but one thing you cannot do is be haughty in the presence of the Lord. I know that.
Amen, so, brother. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to talk to you. I encourage Gabriel to continue to rise to his profession. It'll be good.
Yep, you got it. And we'll work it all together, right. And we'll help him get there. Right?
Well, all right.
All right, brother. Love you in the Lord, bro.
Yeah, right. We love you, too. Thanks for praying for me. Appreciate that.
You got it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. I just want you to know this one is easier and harder at the same time. You might be wondering, how do we do that? I can't tell you. How many lampstands are mentioned in Revelation, in the beginning of Revelation chapter 1? How many? Is it 5, 7, or 6? 5, 7, or 6? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. How many lampstands are mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, where Jesus is in the middle of the lampstands? Your big hints are obviously chapter 1, 2, and 3 of Revelation. We're going to get the caller in a second, but first I want to send you up to the website, because partnering with us financially is a very helpful element for all of us here in the ministry. That's a nice way to say, yeah, if you can give, great, do that. On the website, there's a little donate button if you want to. Again, it's up to you. I don't want you to do it if you're feeling like it's under compulsion or manipulation or some kind of requirement. Do it because your heart's joyful to do it. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord your God with all your wealth and with all your first fruits of all that you produce. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
That's all, folks.
That's what happens when I go to bed. Every night.
I was going to say, that's the show. That's it. See you later.
I'm done. Bye. See ya. Anyway, all right, we do have somebody ready to the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is your little brother.
Hello, little brother. How are you?
Good, good, good.
Good, good, good. Well, that's good. That's three goods in a row. So you really must be, you've really got the goods because you had three in a row. All right, brother, here we go. How many lampstands are mentioned in Revelation chapter 1? Is it 5, 7, or 6?
Yeah, well, 5 is an odd number, so and 6 is a human number. So I'll go with the 7.
That is correct! Come on now! You are right, sir. That is correct. There are 7. And where was Jesus when the lampstands? Where was Jesus in location to the lampstands? Do you remember?
I believe he was in the middle.
That is correct. And we know again. You are right.
Like a son of man or son of God, the imagery that he saw.
Yeah. You just do you not love? Hey, you know what? Jesus knows exactly what's going on. People
yes.
should just take a step back. Jesus knows exactly what's taking place, right? He knows what's going on in each church, right?
Yes.
All right. How you doing
That's
otherwise?
True. Very good. Hey, I want to ask to keep praying for my brother. I think he still had some fever, so just pray that God will just touch him to get better.
Okay. You got it. You want to pray real fast? You want to pray for him
sure.
or you want me to pray for him?
Sure. You mean I?
Yeah, you. Do you want to pray for me?
Right.
We'll agree.
Sure.
Do it.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, that you're an awesome God and you're a very present help and you're Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And, Lord, I bring my brother Joseph before your throne of grace and ask you to touch him with your healing, comforting, and restoring hand and restore his health. Lord, as Bible teaches us that the healing is bread of your children. So, Lord, we ask for this bread of healing for my brother Joseph. And also, Lord, I pray for anybody else in the audience is feeling any kind of sickness or seasonal allergy. Lord, I pray that you touch them as well and restore their health. And we receive these healings in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Good job, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, here we go. Into the text. Yeah, I told you. I warned you. I feel I did. I feel like I did do a kind of a Paul Revere kind of thing. I know. Everybody's trying to change history. I know. Okay. I still think I did a Paul Revere thing here by warning everybody. Here's the warning. This is going to be kind of weird. Here we go. Okay. Love you anyway. Let's pick it up with verse 27 in Acts 19, and it says this. This is Demetrius. Of course, I'm not just talking about the loss of public respect for our business. I'm also concerned that the temple of the great goddess Artemis will lose its influence and that Artemis, this magnificent goddess worshipped through the province of Asia and all around the world, will be robbed of her prestige. Wow. After this, then, anger boiled, and they began shouting, "Great is Artemis! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" The crowd began to gather, and soon the city was filled with confusion as everyone rushed to the amphitheater, dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, who were Paul's traveling companions from Macedonia. You just have to see this image. They hear that there is something going on with their goddess, Artemis. What's amazing about this, absolutely outstanding, is that the people get whipped up in a fury. And they're whipped up in a fury. But look at verse 29. It says, a crowd began to gather, and soon the city was filled with confusion. Nobody even knew why they were doing what they were doing. In the last 5 years, you have seen, the last 5 years, in the last 10 years, you have seen peoples gathering in groups, shouting and shouting and shouting. And as soon as you interview and ask each one of them, why are they there? Half of them don't have a clue. But it is a social gathering. That's the dynamic you see playing out. That's the dynamic that's taking place here in Acts 19. Let me just make sure. I just want to make sure you really get this, okay? There is no difference between all of those people freaking out and people freaking out now about what they don't even know about. But when a mob gets together and riots for the purpose of rioting, it is just the same element as every other for thousands of years. It is birthed by a spirit of confusion. But God is not the author of confusion. All you got to know, it's just like, wait a second. Are you trying to say that some of those public rallies where they all get together and start screaming and all that other stuff is demonic? Absolutely. Not even partly. Absolutely. And what Demetrius does, which is, you know, give him credit, he's not an idiot. He didn't become wealthy by being dull. Okay, I just want to say that. The truth is, he's just like Judas in the sense that he expressed his deep concern for the possible disrespect that was going to come to the great Artemis. And that's exactly, by the way, what Judas did when he expressed his deep concern about something that should have been sold and money given to the poor. It's the same thing. By the way, that's completely spelled out in John chapter 12, verse 5 through 6, where people just like, oh, no, this should be for this and this should be for this. But what they're actually doing is they have another motive. In Judas's case, he kept the money bag, and so he was lying and crying foul and saying that should have been sold so he could have had more money in the money bag because he was stealing from it. That was the real reason he objected to the poor not being taken care of. Just look at that. You go, wait a minute. Are you telling me that there's people in society today that cry out the poor should be taken care of? Which, by the way, nobody disagrees that the poor should be taken care of when they can't help themselves or are unable to help themselves. But are you trying to tell me, Dave, that the people who cry out, the poor need more help, the poor need more help, that some of those people are hypocrites and the only reason they're doing it is to line their own pockets? Yeah, I'm not telling you anything new. It's 2,000 years old. I didn't invent it. I'm not sure Judas invented it, so I'm not sure. He's just called out in the gospel for it. Lying about what the reason for the gathering is or what the reason for the good behavior or good attitude or good actions are supposed to be simply because they're trying to personally enrich themselves. And if you think that I just said that and your brain went to politics, you're not far off, because it's ridiculous. Well, Dave, are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? I'm a Christian, and I do my best to be a part of the system to the point where God will not be displeased with my choices, as should everybody who's a Christian. And I believe instead of left or right, it should be top center, since 26 times in the Bible it says don't turn to the left or the right, or the right or the left. 26. Top center. And these people got together and they were freaking out. Here's the problem. They didn't even know why. It was a social gathering. What's my real level of feeling about this? It's repeating. It's history repeating itself. And these people were so upset about they didn't know what. Just a reason to vent, huh? All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I cannot wait, though. I have to do this particular sound. We might interrupt while I'm doing the teaching, but I got to do the sound because it is time for Bible Baloney Beatdown.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
It's now time for David Spoon's Bible Baloney Beatdown. Bible Baloney Beatdown.
I'll knock your brains out if you had any.
I can't believe I'm allowed to do that. I love that.
Anyhow, Bible Baloney Deep Down has to do with the kingdom of God. So there are people that go, well, you know, in Scripture, there's so many contradictions. Like, what about when Jesus said, if you're for me, then you're not against me. If you're against me, you're not for me. And they kind of mix it all up and so on and so forth. Let me just help out and just kind of set the record straight, keeping it simple. There are two. Now watch what I'm going to show you. There are two. Okay. Watch. Somewhere between one and three. There are two. Okay, here you go. One more time. There are two kingdoms. I'm gonna blow your mind when I say this. There is the kingdom of God. Right? Everybody would agree. Okay, got it. Seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And then there is any other attempted kingdom. There is the kingdom of God, and then there's any other attempted kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of men, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. There's the kingdom of God and all the other ones, okay? And they're all just wrapped up into one thing. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdoms that are not the kingdom of God. That's all we got. That's all it is. Luke chapter 9, verse 49 through 50, John responded, Master, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him. Because he does not follow us. Verse 50, don't stop him, Jesus told him, because whoever is not against you is for you. Keeping this in context, the person is not opposed, this is very important, the person is not opposed, but for the kingdom of God. He's not neutral. He's a kingdom advancer. He's somebody that is advancing the kingdom, casting out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. And John is like, well, he's not one of us. Okay, that's a whole separate sermon, a whole separate issue, which I'm sure your pastor has taught on many times. And that is the last thing that you need are a whole bunch of more people just like you or just like me. We need people to be like Jesus. And they don't need to follow us exactly. They need to follow Jesus. And I don't want to reproduce 1,000 me's. I want people reproducing being Jesus. Because I'm not going to do anything, but people who are more like Jesus, they make a difference. And in context, this person was advancing the kingdom by driving out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. He's a kingdom advancer.
The David Spoon Experience.
If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your trivia question. Which church in the book of Revelation, so the chapters 2 and 3, which church left their first love? Not lost, left. Which church left their first love out of the seven churches? We had seven golden lampstands representing the churches. Which of the seven churches left their first love? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Now think about what I'm saying. Which is the church that left their first love? Here's your hint. Ready? It is in chapter 2. There you go. Okay. In the meantime, we're going to do history. So let's do history. All right, today is Do Something Nice Day. Okay, Jam and Jacob.
That should be every day, right?
Yeah, loving the job you're doing. There's something nice right there. See? You like that?
Yeah.
I get it. I fulfilled it. Okay. Today is James Bond Day. Now, James Bond was phenomenal in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and even a little bit in the 90s, and even the video game was fun. But since then, it's not been quite the same. I'm just telling, being honest, you know. Sometimes it.
I'll be honest. I haven't seen a single James Bond movie.
I'm glad you were honest about that. Thank you for that. That was nice of you to say that.
There's mine. Do something nice. Be honest.
You're honest. good one. All right, today is National Apple Betty Day. So Apple Betty is a no-crust pie with, like, sliced apples and sugar and flour and cinnamon and nutmeg and, you know, stuff like that. And that would happen to be a Ronald and Nancy Reagan's favorite dessert when they were in the White House. So that's what, I don't know if that's how it got a holiday, but that's pretty good. Also, on this day in 1914, now listen, 1914, the first airplane shot down by another airplane. A German plane shoots down a French pilot. It's just like, wow. And it's like 109 years ago. Like, really? They had planes back then? It's just so weird. 1921, on this day, the first radio broadcast of the World Series. Wow. And then in 1947, on this day, the first White House address is televised, given by President Truman. There you go. There you go. All right. Going back to the trivia question, I want to see if people can get this. There is a church in the book of Revelation in chapter 2. They left their first love. Which church is that? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So as you can tell in that last segment, I lit a little bit on the political edge of things. I think people will survive just to hear that some of those things that take place on your news channels are just not really reflective of new news, but are really just old news. Next week, I'm going to share with you a theory that will be, it's one that I think is very possible about the end times. Oh, no, he didn't. Yes, I did. I just did right there. Mic drop. Bing. Okay. In the meantime, I'm going to go back to the text, and if I don't get it, I'll have make sure that Jam and Jacob reminds me to do the trivia. Here's this very last section, which I think is really important, and I think it really is important to understand. The crowd began to gather, right? They're dragging along Gaius and Aristarchus, who were Paul's traveling companions, verse 30 of chapter 19. Paul wanted to go in, but the believers wouldn't let him. Some of the officials of the province, friends of Paul, also sent him a message begging him not to risk his life by entering the amphitheater. If Paul would have went in there, it had been probably bloodshed. So why I want to point that out is simply this. The Apostle Paul wanted to go in and address the commotion because he knew it was false. He knew it was a lie. But the faithful believed it was a bad idea and said no. And sometimes it's the heart of wisdom to avoid danger. What we need is people around us, close connections to the Lord, those people having close connections to the Lord, and understanding that we need God's wisdom in our circumstances. What that means is this: some fights are better left alone than engaged with. And you think, what do you mean? Well, sometimes it's not the time. The key is for all of us to walk in a close enough relationship with the Lord to know which hill we want to fight for and die on and which one is not the right place. There are times where you need to stand for your faith and be immovable. And then there's times not to. Even Jesus in his example did not respond to every statement that was made to him in regards to them accusing him or saying something. He didn't. Sometimes he said nothing. And sometimes the wisdom is, ready, nothing. Don't say anything. Just, okay. Sometimes people will say things, don't even know they're being used by Satan, and they'll try to do it just to get you, just to goat you, just to, it's like, you got to say, I'm not even going to respond. And you know the way that you, I want to say this, you know the way you don't let people have this influence in you, ready, or they have this authority in you, or this, you know how you do it? You ready? You don't let them. Somebody who says something to you, they don't own you. It's only God who owns you. How do you know God owns you? He paid for you. He redeemed you, which means to redeem means to buy back. He bought you. And so the people that sometimes, it's so amazing, you just need to recognize how powerful this is, that you don't have to let people say things or do things that have an impact on you, because you can just simply say, no, I don't care. The scripture even says, don't let people. How do you not let people? You don't let them have the power. You don't let them have the influence. That's how you do it. Okay? All right. I'm going to answer the trivia question, then we're going to close with prayer. Do it a little different because we have a request from Annika, and we want to be able to answer that, so we will do that. Here's the trivia question. Which book in Revelation, chapter 2, was the one that left their first love? That was Ephesus, the very first one. Jesus said, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Ouch. Ouch. That is tough, okay? They didn't lose it. They left. See the difference? To lose it means it could be, you know, stolen. To lose it, to leave it means to walk away. Like, uh-oh, don't do that. All right, here we go. We're going to pray for Annika and Neil. I'm pretty sure it's going to be it's Rick, and they want prayer for him. He's in the hospital, so let's pray real quickly. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up Rick to you, and we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing and sanity and simplicity and calmness and peace to Rick. We pray not just for his salvation, Lord. We pray for his healing power, or your healing power to touch his life, and that in that healing process he would come back and acknowledge you as Lord. And that instead of fighting against you, Lord, instead of resisting your Holy Spirit, that he would yield and he would confess Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray for his salvation. We pray for his health. We pray for his recovery. We pray for Annika and Neil. We pray for them to have wisdom, to use consistent wisdom in the process. And they would know what to say and when to say it, how to keep praying for them, and that you would bless them in this situation. Because, Lord, there is nothing that we encounter that is so far out of your hands that there cannot be redemption for it. We lift them up before you and pray for them. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll be it for today's show. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.